Yud Aleph Elul, Wednesday the 29th of August, Rabbi Malkan, Herman, Mechila and Pleasing Friends.
So then is Mechila and Appeasing Friends, which, although is normally understood to be an Erev Yom Kippur Inyan, but as we shall see, it is critical to think about it ahead of time. So the Gemara in Mishnah in Yoma, Daf Pehe Amud Beis, says as follows: Averus shemin adam lahamakim Yom Kippur mechaper. Averus between Hakadosh Baruch Hu and human beings, Yom Kippur mechaper. Averus shemin adam lachaveru ein Yom Kippur mechaper. Ad hirat es chaveru Yom Kippur is not mechaper averus between person to person until you appease your chaver. Dorash of Elazim and Azariah. Elazim and Azariah brings a pasuk. Mikol chata seichem lifnei Hashem titoruf. States that mikol chata seichem all your transgressions lifnei Hashem titoruf. That those transgressions, says the Mishnah, averus shebin adam lamakim yom kippur mechaper, averus shebin adam lachaveru ein yom kippur mechaper. The diak in the pasuk is lifnei Hashem. If your averus are lifnei Hashem, then you come to Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur works. If your averus are not lifnei Hashem but lifnei adam, between man and man, person to person, then Yom Kippur is not mechaper ad shirat es chaveru. Agav, it just occurred to me that it's interesting because really you would have thought it's a sfora. Actually, why do you need a pasuk for it? You would have thought it's svara. I can't absolve you of the debt that you owe to a third party. Nothing to do with me. I can't be mochel Reuben's debt to Shimon if I'm not Shimon. And therefore, you would have thought that averus ben adam lamakim. You understand, for shteis of the kadosh baruch hu can be mochel, as it were. But here, how can Hashem be mochel the transgression between me and you? That's between me and you. So it's interesting that the Mishnah brings a pasuk. I haven't as yet seen comment on this, but in the Piskei Teshuvos he brings, Shem Beki Yosef, I haven't seen it inside, that it could be there's not just that Yom Kippur is not Mechaper, the Averus between you and this other person, but Yom Kippur is not Mechaper, finished. If you come into Yom Kippur and there are still issues between you and somebody else, Yom Kippur is not Mechaper, it just doesn't work. It would be interesting if that was the case, then the diak is that Averus Shemadon Makim, Yom Kippur is Mechaper, Averus Shemadon Mechavero, and Yom Kippur Mechaper. That means if you were to come into Yom Kippur and there is still Averus Shemadon Mechaper, then Yom Kippur is not Mechaper. And then the diak would work very well, because if Nei Hashem, you're going to come into Yom Kippur, where the only issues you have are between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no other issues at all. Just an observation, I haven't seen it corroborated. But it'd be an interesting way of looking at it.
I understand. It means that all the other things are
also not mechaper, or only their particular issues. Well, the Piskei Teshuvos brings, B'Shem Rekhi Yosef, that Yom Kippur is not mechaper. If you come, Bichlal. Quite an awesome idea. If it's not mechaper, if you come into Yom Kippur and there's still issues between you and Indiana, Yom Kippur's not mechaper. I haven't seen this out of Brook Yosef. Not mechaper anything. Yeah. I haven't seen it inside the Brook Yosef itself. I saw it quoted in the Piskei Teshuvos, and then Piskei Teshuvos brings it, but I haven't seen it inside itself. He also brings that a similar lashon. The Shem Matei Ephraim is similar Loshen. The person has to come into Yom Kippur with a clean slate between Ben Adam and Chavera, and then Yom Kippur works. But it would be interesting. It would certainly explain why you need a posset for it. Because without you need a posset for it, because that would require a posset. That would be something. But, okay, you can have a look at this contributors. Anyway, but the Gemara itself over here in Pei Vav brings. The Nyanim that we're very familiar with, but sorry, in Pei Zion, Gemara brings. Avayish Adam Ma'am Machaber and Yom Kippur Machaper. It brings various psukim. Then it says, "Arum Biyeshal Kana Makni Des Chaveru Afilu B'Dvarim Tzorach LeFaiser." If you upset somebody else, even with words, not just financial issues, you have to appease Mishneimar. And it brings a pasuk from Mishnei, beginning of Perigov in Mishnei. B'ni Imarav to L'Reyecha. That means, my son, if you have become an orev, a guarantor for somebody else, so kathal zar kapecha, if you have given your commitments to a third party, no kashtov imrei ficha, if you have literally trapped yourself by words, no kadatov imrei ficha, that means that you have snared yourself, you said things that have left a debt, asay zois efoi benivin notzel. This is the resolution. This is the resolution. Kibasa v'kafreyecha, you have to come to the third party with offer your hand, leich his rapes rabe recha, which means literally go and humble yourself. Rav reecha, Masudas Siyun says Loshon of mechazik your friend, The Gemara in Pei Zayin learns Loshon Rahav to also mean to expand, Rahav reecha, which means bring a group of friends. Rashi says, Harbe Reim Levakish Himenu Mechila. So the Gemara is Mentai in the Pasuk, Rehav Reyecha, doesn't just mean Mechazek, your friend, but it means bring a group of friends to present yourself to the third party. And from here the Gemara brings out that the procedure, that you've got to bring three people, you've got to bring three people. You've got to bring three people, and it seems on three occasions. We'll see whether that means three literal occasions, or it can be three times on the same occasion. And you've got some mephaisa. It brings a posset from Eev as well. And that's the process. Three people in a row, and you've got to come forward and three times ask the person for mechina. Now, then the Gemara brings several. The Gemara says, Amri Yosim Mechina, Rachanina, Kamavakesh Metamachavero, and Yavakesh Meni Yosim Misholish Pomim. But the maximum number of times you request mechina is three times. And it brings from the very end of Bereshis, in the Mamash, the last chapter of Bereshis, after Yaakov Inu dies, so the brothers come to Yosef. Kosim to Yosef, Ono, first not, son not, Pesha Achecha, Luchatosom, Kira'a Gemulchav, Atos, son not, Lefesha, Abdelekei Avicha. Three times the brothers ask for Loshon not, and they request Yosef should forgive them. From here the Gemara learns out that you have to make your request for Mechina three times. And after that, it seems that you are absolved. You've done what you can do. I saw one of Mepharshim. That means the other person is a muhsuk achzor. He's a muhsuk achzor. He's a muhsuk, he won't forgive you. Therefore, there's no point anymore going to appeal to him beyond that. We'll see in the Mishnah Berurah whether there's any inyan at all going beyond that. Then the Gemara brings several episodes. I'd like to share two with you. Rabbi Zeira, Kavali Milsa, Bahadi Inish. When Rabbi Zeira had an issue with somebody else, felt somebody else had offended him. He would pass his door several times. He would, as it were, accidentally bump into him, encounter him, to make it easier for the person to request mechina. And therefore, it's interesting. I mean, it seems as though, and we'll come back to this, the idea of a unilateral mechina would not be good enough. He had to trigger an actual request for mechina from the particular person that offended him. Rav of a Milsley Mahadi Tavcho, quite a well known episode. Rav had an issue with a particular butcher. Doesn't say what the issue was. There wasn't a coming man in Yom Kippurim. And this man did not turn up on Erev Yom Kippur to ask Rav Mechina. Amar, Ihu Ozan Anot Lefiusile. I'm going to go and sort this out with him. Right? Pogale Rav Huna. Rav Huna encountered him. Amale, Lehechoka Ozan Mar. Where are you going? Amale Lefiusile Pleni. I am going to Mephias him to try and sort this out, to encourage him to ask Mechina. It's clear that Rav was the offended party. Amar, Sir Huna says, Ozel Aval Amiktol Navshot. He's going to kill him. This is a dangerous business, going to kill him. One of Mepharshim says, because he knew this butcher was a tough man, and he wasn't going to climb down, and this would be dangerous to encounter Rav. It's interesting, by the way, Agav, that Rav made time for this in Erev Yom Kippur. Rav made time for this. He could have said, you know, it's his business. What am I have to worry about him? He wants to come and ask me for Mechina. That's his business. I've got other things to do. No, Rav felt enough for Yena. Come in Loye have a Yosef Kapeli Reshi. He was there and he was doing various butchers at work. He lifted up his eyes, he saw him. Amale Abba Azile Milse Badach. He said a Loshan Abba, which was not, some say wasn't such a complimentary Loshan, others say differently. He said, you know, leave me alone, go away from here. As he was cutting the head of an animal, so a bone flew up and struck him in the throat and killed him. He died. So two interesting episodes. So, we'll come back to the Gemara in a few minutes, but the Moshe Stenbuch in the Sefer Modim is one in the Pele Kalef Simon Nundalad asks about the issue about why is it Dafkon Erev Yom Kippur? Why should it be Dafkon Erev Yom Kippur? Lachayr, if you offended somebody else, then any time, there's no time like the present, to try and put this out. Now that might say, quote from Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah himself says that it's not actually Dafkon Erev Yom Kippur, but on Erev Yom Kippur becomes a sense of urgency. If you haven't sorted things out between yourself and your friend Erev Yom Kippur, then after Pishu began b'shayi most of Shonam uchrid l'fayis to Mishu Poshim connector, they come off from him ein lo panai who mams in the fayis al yom achel. But if he hasn't made time previously, but Erev Yom Kippur uchrid l'takin akol. Erev Yom Kippur is a sense of urgency. So every other day, yes, you should do it any day, on every day, and any day you've offended somebody else. By the time it comes to Erev Yom Kippur, if you haven't sorted things out, then it becomes mamish urgent, because it would certainly impede your ability to achieve tshuva in the areas of Binom B'chamera, and as we said, possibly even beyond that. But Moshe Shlomoch says that actually it looks from the Shulchan Aruch as there is some kind of particularity in Yom Kippur. Etc. So he says that actually it looks as though there is a particularity in Yom Kippur. And he suggests a very, very interesting svara why that should be the case. And you know, we know there's a machlekes between the Chofetz Chaim and Mishael Talanta with reference to if a person has spoken Lashon Hara about a third party. As we shall see when we come to the halacha, that really you're supposed to express what you've done wrong if you can do so. Now, what happens if I've spoken Lashon Hara about somebody else and they've got no idea at all? No idea. Maybe it's a good friend, a chavrusa, or my brother-in-law sitting here. I can't think of any Lashon Hara, but my brother-in-law, whatever it is. And every Yom Kippur comes, I think to myself, oi, oi, I've spoken Lashon Hara. I don't want to come into Yom Kippur with that on my cop. So I call the person up, but they've got no idea at all. So should I tell them I've spoken Lashon Hara or not? So I'm calling him out because Yom Tov, very nice. By the way, the reason why I'm calling you is because I spoke Lashon Hara about you. So Chofetz Chaim says that yes, you should, because otherwise there's no way in which they can be mochel you because they don't know what you've done, you haven't expressed it properly. Either Chofetz Chaim says, if your Lashon Hara has not been accepted by third parties, then better not. Then don't express what you've done. But if it's been accepted by third parties, you have to repair that as well. But you then have to tell the person you've spoken Lashon Hara about it, and you have to, in fact, tell them what you've done, and ask for mechila. So, when Mishael Talanta says, there's a great risk over here. There's a risk of a nice devorim over here. You know, you call somebody up and say, they think you're calling me to wish me a good Yom Tov. You say, by the way, you should know that I spoke Lashon Hara about you during the year. Then there's a risk you're going to make the problem worse. And instead of, you'll have to ask Mechila next year, ask Mechila the year before. So Solanus's view is that actually you don't. You shouldn't express it. There's too much risk involved that you may exacerbate the problem. Says Moshe Sternbuch that Lemaisa, let's imagine I come up to somebody else in the middle of the year. Pesach time, Hanukkah time, whatever it is, any time. And I say to him, you should know, Rami, that I need to ask you for Mechila. He's going to say, well, what have you done? That itself is going to trigger a certain suspicion on the person's part or a certain hurt on the person's part. However, on Erev Yom Kippur, everybody's asking everybody for Mechila. So to Moshe Sternbuch, that's why there's a particularity in Erev Yom Kippur, because you're not going to upset the person. It minimizes the risk of you upsetting the person, because there's this general sense of everyone asking else for Mechila. And therefore, your particular transgression is camouflaged within the general atmosphere of Mechila. It's a bit like in last week's session, Pastor Shoftim, the various exemptions from the army. The last exemption is a person who's an Ovra Avera. So, I can't remember who says it now, it's a well-known part, that why are all the other people, Eres Isham, Bon Abayis, etc., etc., because if we just said, right, those of you who have done Averas, please leave the ranks. People are embarrassed to go. Here's camouflage within the whole process. So he suggests, therefore, that's why there is a particularity in Erev Yom Kippur, because you can achieve Mechila with minimal risk of offending the particular person.
Well, you said before that you've got to trigger to say that.
Ah, so that's, you anticipated exactly the next question. The shayla is, what happens if I know the person's been mochel me? I know he's not upset me, I know he's been mochel me. Is this still an inyan to ask him for Mechila, or to raise it? So Lamaisa, the problem is, the Gemara itself implies there is. Because you could ask on Rav, and on Rav Zeira, why were they just mochel? Are you unilateral Mechila? On the contrary, Rav wanted this person to achieve a Mechila. He was matriarch himself in Erev Yom Kippur. So why didn't he just say, you know what, I'm mochelim. I said to Belazaka, I'm mochelim. Vice Chois from the Gemara, there is that might not work. That might not be adequate.
Not enough.
Might not be adequate. So the shadow is, why not? So again, in Monim Ezmanim, it's very interesting. He says it could be that the actual process of Kapara requires the humility the request for Mechila brings. I have to machnir myself. I have to go through the embarrassment of saying to Yenna, you know, I shouldn't have said this, or I'm sorry I upset you. If anybody has done it, it's very embarrassing to come to somebody else and say, I was wrong, I was completely wrong. And I've from experience, know there's only one way of making an apology, and that's an unconditional apology. To say, I was wrong, but, and that's already not really a proper apology. But that's not an apology, it's very much not an apology. The only way I make an apology is to say, I was wrong, I'm very sorry, I was wrong. Now, of course, it never happens, but anyway, but the point is, so therefore, says Moshe Sternbach, it could be that actually you need that for the process of Kapara. And that is the passage of the Gemara. Rav couldn't just give him a unilateral mechila. And Rav Huna wanted to go past the houses to give him the opportunity for mechila. You needed that. You needed that. And the Gemara brings in the story later on with Zera as well. So, because, and that is part of the process of the kapara, the expiation of the damage, rectification of a person's sin requires that. The interesting thing is that now he said it could be, maybe you can learn the Gemara differently. Two other ways. Maybe you can learn it differently. Because there's a Gemara in the Dorim Chaf Gimel. Gemara brings, very beginning in the Dorim Chaf Gimel, brings a Pasuk Pashas Matos, the Isha Heforam Hashem Yislach Lo. That if a husband annuls the vow of his wife, Hashem Yislach Lo. So the Gemara asks there on the Mishnah, if a husband has cancelled the vow, why does she need a slicha? Husband's cancelled the vow. So Gemara says it could be a case whereby her husband has cancelled her vow, but she is unaware. She's unaware. So she's made a neder of some sort, whatever the neder is. She's made a neder of some sort, and she thinks the neder is still binding on her. She's got no idea that her husband was made for her neder. So what happens in a situation like that? Technically speaking, she's not transgressing anything. Even though Lishi Tosa, she thinks that she's still transgressing. Says the Gemara, no, that's what it means. Even though her husband's been made for her neder, she still requires a slicha. She still requires, because if Lishi Tosa, she's, if you like, being poorly cold, if Lishi Tosa, she's still transgressing the neder, she still requires a machina, a slicha. So therefore it could be a situation over here whereby, technically the person is not transgressing, but in their own mind, they're still in the state of transgression. So Moshe Sternberg says, maybe that's the reason why unilateral mechila won't work. Won't work because I'm sitting in my house, Yena knows he's offended me. I'm sitting in my house, he says, you know, I'm ochelim, what do I want? He should have Torah's Nebuch on my account. I'm ochelim, I'm completely ochelim. But he doesn't know about it at all. So it could be if he doesn't know about it, he is still, as it were, v'emsa haveri, still in the state of transgression. Therefore, I need to tell him that I've been mochanim. I need to let him know that there's no longer any hakpot on my part. And maybe the reason why there has to be an interaction between us is that he should know that I've been mochanim. But Moshe Shlomo says that can't be pshat in the Gemara. Because if that was to be the case, it doesn't need Rav to go along and trigger his bakosh of mechina. What it needs is to send him a text to say, you know what, Rav, I've been mochel you. I know that you upset me, and I know that you know that I'm upset. I've been mochel you. It doesn't need him to force a mechina. So that it also is not good enough pshat in the Gemara. It seems there's more to it than that. So the second pshat is, so far it still looks as though there has to be an actual request for mechina. The second pshat is, it could be, in all the cases of the Gemara, is where we're talking about Gedoli Hador. Kadoni Hador. We've seen on Alacha itself that although normally with a chava you only ask three times, you're talking about a rav, Shulchan Aruch, even if it's not rav and muvuk. Nonetheless, you've got to go and go and go and go and go, whether it's to do with Kabbalah Torah or the relationship between yourself and the rav. So it could be that you can't prove from those Gemaras that in a general situation there has to be a request from the chida. It could be that simply the unilateral mechila, the unilateral pius is good enough. In those Gemaras where there's a situation between a person and a Rav, a person and a God of Adar, a person of someone this caliber, in those situations there has to be an actual articulated request of Mechina, and a unilateral Mechina is not good enough. That could be. But the Maizi, he says, that brings the Biur Hagra on Shulchan Aruch. The Biur Hagra on Shulchan Aruch is actually reflected, it brings, I think it's a modified. But what happens if you've gone three times, and the person has said, steadfast, no, I will not be mochel you. So what do you do then? So one bracket in Shulchan Aruch says, Miu yoyma achakav lifnei yud shebikesh memenu mechila. A bracket in Shulchan Aruch. You've gone three times, the person has said, no, I'm not being mochel you. Says, nonetheless, you should then get a minyan of people together, and you should say in front of a minyan of people, you should know, I went to Reuven three times, I requested mechila, I went with three people, but he wasn't mochel me. He wasn't mochel me. So why is that? So the Biur Hagra brings from Medrash Tanchuma that the reason for this is so that you should be mashpil yourself. It's a sense of humility. It's a sense of demonstrating that you're prepared to do that, but it's also a sense of your own humility. As our Loshen, you should be mashpil to machni yourself. So Moshe Shlomo says, Vais tachois, that even where you've done everything that you can do, and there's no longer any obligation to ask him for mechila, nonetheless, it seems part of the process of kapara is this aspect of being machni yourself, of a sense of humility, of going through that humility. And therefore, in this situation, sorry,
you say the name of the person.
I don't know actually. Don't be saying, I don't know. I don't know. Good point. I don't know. Do you want me to say anything? No. That's true, but I mean, that's true. The question is about, should you say I offended Yenna? I said, actually name that person. Probably not, maybe. I don't know. But maybe people know about it anyway. But you probably don't need to do that. But you say, but I suppose you have to say enough, but he's medayik from Loshna the Biagra, that you still have to go, and where he himself has not given you mechila, then there's an extra process to do, and it seems part of that process. So he says, interestingly enough, that halacha l'maisa, that really, that where one can be a bit more expressive, especially in Erev Yom Kippur, where there's a general atmosphere, without risk offending the person, then one should do so attentively or carefully. Otherwise, what it means is, if this is correct, the Mishra Salanta is saying that even though this may impede the complete kapara on your part, if you can't articulate it to the person, but not, and you need that articulation for the busha for yourself in order to achieve that kapara, but it's still more important not to offend Yenna. Still more important not to offend somebody else. So even though you will lose out on a component of kapara, more important not to offend Yenna. But he brings that where one can, not just kind of a sense, if I've ever done anything wrong to you during the year, and it's kind of general, vague, nebulous sense, that everybody does, you send out a global text message to anybody on the list, if anybody, I've ever done anything wrong to you during the year, if one can say, look, maybe I wasn't always knowing the fikvodcha, or I feel I wasn't always as patient as I should have been, in those general sense, there's a little bit of hachna, a little bit of bush involved, then that would at least achieve something of that. I saw again the Piskei Teshuva brings, b'shem a range of poskim, not like Moshe Sternberg, and those who do say that a unilateral mechila does suffice, even if I don't go through that Busha process. This is, anyway. In terms of other areas of halacha, interesting issue in terms of, when the Shulchan Aruch brings, you should go three times to a person, what about, do you go three times straight away, or can you ask him first without having to go three times? You only go three times if your own personal petition hasn't worked out. Actually, Lashon of Shulchan Aruch implies that straight away you bring three people and you go through the process three times. Again, Piskei Teshuva brings that it can be three times on one occasion. You don't have to go and go. He says, no, go home, come back in half an hour later. No, you can go, bring three people, and you wait outside 5 minutes, you knock on his door again. And then 5 minutes later, you knock on his door again. Until eventually he concedes. Hopefully. But the Lashon of the Rambam implies that actually, before you bring three people, you actually ask yourself, because Rambam brings, So it seems that first you go as an individual and petition the person. If the person then does not, only then do you start the whole process of three times. And that's how the Mishnah Berurah passes. Just to say a little bit about, you know, what about the person who is the offended party? So, as the Shulchan Aruch brings, that a person must do everything he can to be mochel. Everything he can to be mochel. And even if, brought to Shartion, even if the transgression was bemazed and bemerit, even if it wasn't an inadvertent transgression, an inadvertent offense, a person has really offended you, and you know they did it deliberately, but they've come to you with a genuine request for mechila, it's got to be a genuine request for mechila, then a person should do everything they can. And that's what the Gemara says in several places, incredible expression, mavir lo kol avonosov. Many different pshatim in this. We haven't got time. It's got a beautiful shir on this. Why is it mavir lo kol avonosov? But just to give two pshatim. The standard pshat is, v'yad kol adam chosim bo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us as we judge others. We set our own standard of judgment. If I'm very exacting, if I'm very punctilious, if I'm very particular, and you know, on every last detail of every last thing with somebody else, and I come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I say, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, b'merachim, it was b'shogeg, I didn't mean to do it, I'll say it, I'm only a human being, have mercy, Hashem says, well, hang a second, that's not the way you interact with others. Why shouldn't I judge you by the standards? So, but if I'm ma'avir al midosav, if I'm not so exacting with others, the Kodesh Baruch Hu can look at every aveira and find a tzad kula, if you like, or a tzad shogeg, or a tzad kafi, or whatever it was. And therefore, it sets me in a place where Kodesh Baruch Hu can look at all of my aveiras more generously. I saw a pshat somewhere, I can't remember where I saw it now, I thought it was a Sifsi Chaim, but I couldn't find it again. What's the notion of ma'avir al midosav? That ma'avir means to give someone else the ability to pass by. Ma'avir, to make space for them to pass by. So, wherever it was, I saw it, says that really what happens is, when a person is very, very exacting, It means that you occupy the whole moral high ground. You take up the whole space in the road. There's no space for somebody else. Ma'avel midosa means shrink yourself a little bit. Shrink that ego a little bit. And give space for Yena. Give space for somebody else to pass by. Okay, we're all human beings. We all make mistakes. We've all got strengths and weaknesses. We all do things wrong. Ma'avel midosa. That means shrink yourself a little bit. Give space for somebody else to pass by. I want to share with you an episode that happened to me. It's a very interesting episode. I lived in Manchester for many years. And there was a well-known Balabos in Manchester, Sir Sidney Hamburger. May have come across him within the community. He was a very active, both in all sorts of fronts, a very well-known person. And I didn't know him that well, but about two or three weeks before we were scheduled to leave Manchester, I was at an occasion somewhere, just about to leave the shul where I was at, after reception, and I hear a voice calling me, Malcolm. So I look behind, Sir Sidney Hamburger. Calls me across, put his hands on my shoulders like that. He was quite a small man, and he said to me the following words, his exact words. He said to me, "You're leaving me. I'm an old man, and you're leaving Manchester, and I don't know whether we'll see each other again, and I want to ask you for forgiveness." So I said to him, "What for? What for?" I said, I don't know what you're referring to. I've got no idea what you're referring to. He wouldn't elaborate. He said, "Please think about it. Please think about what I'll ask you for forgiveness." Now, I went home, I said to my wife, you know, I met Sir Sidney Hamburger, I don't know what he's talking about. You can imagine, the last next couple of hours during the afternoon, I didn't have that many interactions with him over the years. I lived in Manchester for 11, 12 years. Didn't have that many interactions. Then it occurred to me, maybe one thing there was. And many years ago, in London, there was a big encounter conference, the very first encounter conference in Manchester, so we were very involved in parts of it, and in the ticket sales and everything else. The conference was first time Manchester scheduled something like this, and we booked a venue of 767 seats, I still remember, because over 1,100 people applied for the conference. And we took a second hall, and the ticket sales were rocketing. The venue were getting very, very worried about me selling every ticket that I could sell. Obviously, I wanted to get as many people to the conference. And in the end, they said, "Look, you've got to stop." And I had my various calculations, some people won't turn up, and some were giving complimentaries. Anyway, after we closed the ticket sales, I get a call one day from Sir Sidney Hamburger. And he'd been one of the sponsors of the conference as well. He said to me, "Malcolm, I've got 20 guests coming from abroad, and I want another 20 tickets." So I kind of mumbled, but you know, we've closed the ticket sales. I mean, they're getting the venue, getting mad at me. I can't sell anymore. And he said to me quite strongly, "I want another 20 tickets." So what did I do? I put another 20 tickets in the post, and I said, "Let's fill it by the post box. Kosh Baruch Hu, for the best of reasons, let 20 people not turn up for the conference." And I put it in the post. Anyway, Baruch Hu, the conference was fine, and everything worked out well. I thought, that can be the only thing. Maybe he thought he was a little bit too pushy. I was very young and inexperienced, and he was a Sidney Hamburger. As it happens, I only saw him once more. He was nice enough to come to our goodbye too, but I didn't get a chance to speak to him. And 3 or 4 months later, I can remember that, he died. He was an IFTA. Then if he was ill, I don't know. So I wrote to the family this whole episode. I was so impressed at the fact that he'd remembered this episode of probably, certainly 3 or 4 years before, if not 5 years before. And I wrote the whole thing. I wrote to him, "Can you shed any light on maybe this was the episode?" And the son wrote back to me, one of the sons wrote back to me to say, "Yes, we're absolutely convinced. We were in the office when Dad was on the phone to you. And we remember thinking, you know, come on, Dad, he's a young guy, he's not really experienced. And you're also Sidney Hamburger, you know, you're putting on a bit too much pressure." He said, "But no matter how big our father was," he wrote, "he was never too big to apologize." I thought it was a remarkable thing. This was years and years beforehand, and I had totally and absolutely forgotten it. It took me 2 or 3 hours to work out what he was talking about, Bichlal. And yet, he felt, he retained it, he remembered it, and he'd taken that final opportunity to ask Mechir for it. I thought it was a sign of real governance, So therefore, you know, I think, unfortunately, there is so much tension in our world, and sometimes so much tension in our community, and it seems ridiculous to go into Yom Kippur without our very best chances. And what's on offer over here is Ma'avel Midosa, Ma'avel Kolav Anosov. Now, I certainly believe that every opportunity one can have to clarify and clear things up between now and Yom Kippur, then one should do so, because ultimately, not only is it for the good of Klal Yisrael, for the Kehillah, but first and foremost, it's for us as well, and therefore, hopefully, we come through the Yimei Hadin, Barachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.